Welcome to part three of three on extraterrestrial planting in Shemitah, pots, greenhouses, hydroponics, and hopefully allowing Rav Sammy some time to also start on Kedushas Shvius, but there are no guarantees. Rabbi Yaris?
Download the source, please. Sorry, I can't find my email.
Okay, can someone upload it into... Oh, okay, Natama's got it.
Email me if you want. Some of us are on board.
Thank you, Natama. If you take a look on the source sheet, you'll actually see at the bottom of the second side, top of the third side, I put in Sheilot Chazara, questions for review, just trying to help make sure that everything that we've done is somewhat structured. And some of the questions we can already look at and answer. So I'd ask the question of what are the two Yerushalmi sources to be lenient regarding planting in a sheltered area during Shemitah, right? What's the basis in the Yerushalmi for us to be lenient? And one was the Yerushalmi in Arla, which asked the question and seemed to leave the option open. And that was the Pat HaShulchan's basis for being lenient, since the Yerushalmi is unsure and we're dealing with a Derabanan. And then the other was the Yerushalmi in Shvius, which prohibits building houses for trees during Shemitah. And the Chazon Ish said that's only where the shelter actually improves growth. So from both of those sources, you could potentially be lenient regarding planting in a sheltered area during Shemitah. Those who have just joined, you have the source sheet or do you need it uploaded for you? No one's got it?
I have it.
Great, thank you. Okay. So those were the two reasons to be lenient about planting in a sheltered area. On the other hand, we had two reasons to be strict. Number one, according to the Rambam, there's a Meiser obligation if you plant indoors during Shemitah. And that was the whole Chazon Ish spec fakeup for stringency. And then the other is that we prohibit that sheltering house that I just mentioned in the Yerushalmi and Shvius. We said maybe that's only if it improves the growth, but number one, maybe not. And the number two, we'll have to deal with the application to greenhouses, which do seem to improve the growth. So that was in terms of planting in a sheltered area during Shemitah. We then shifted to talk about considering a plant growing in a solid pot as separate from the ground and potentially the laws of Shemitah then not applying if it's planted in a solid pot. And we saw two sources. We saw, first of all, the Yerushalmi in Shvius that said you're not supposed to test seeds in a pot during Shemitah, and it didn't specify whether it's for a pierced pot or for a solid pot, and therefore you could make the argument that even if it's in a solid pot, it's considered to be in the ground. And that's why you're not supposed to test seeds in it. That was a reason to be strict. And then we also had the discussion in the Gemara Menachos regarding the bikurim that are in a boat. And the boat is either made of clay or the boat is made of wood. And according to Rashi and the Rush, we were saying in that Gemara in Menachos that clay is considered like the ground. If it's growing in a clay boat, it's considered like it's growing in the ground below. We said maybe the roots penetrate it. We had Rabbeinu Tam's early view, right? There were two Rabbeinu Tam views. We had Rabbeinu Tam's early view that wood is like the ground because it conducts moisture. And then you had the Ravid who thought the whole thing was a joke. The Ravid said, absolutely not. He said the difference between wood and clay boats is that the wood boats have a hole in them for the oars. And the Chazon Ish chose to follow that view in the Ravid. That's really important because what that means is that if your pot does not have a hole in the bottom or in the side, then it's not considered connected to the ground. So that Ravid becomes very, very important. I asked as a review question here on the sheet, what source indicates that a solid pot is considered separate from the ground below? It's not considered part of the ground. And the answer was the depending on how you read it, the Yerushalmi in Demai, where the Yerushalmi in Demai said you're not supposed to separate Truma Meiser from produce that grows in a pot, on behalf of produce that grows in a, sorry, from a pot that has a solid bottom from produce, let me say that sentence again because I completely botched it. Let's try that again. The Yerushalmi in Demai says that you're not supposed to tithe from produce that grows in a solid pot on behalf of produce that grows in a pot with a hole in it. The and it says that the solid pot is safek, according to our edition. That makes it sound like you can make the argument that the solid pot is not, in fact, considered to be in the ground. And the Chazon Ish read it that way to be lenient, although the Vilna Gaon had a different edition of that that Yerushalmi. So the last bit that we did was the question here of what sort of exposure to air eliminates the benefits of being in a solid pot. And we said, number one, if you have a hole, even a small hole, as long as it's the width of a root, we had one view that it was even a millimeter. We said also exposure of the plant to the open air over the sides of the pot is going to be an issue if it extends past the pot. And even being on top of a tile may not, if it has a hole in it, that very interesting discussion that we saw at the end last week. So we've now seen reasons for stringency and leniency regarding growing things in a shelter, reasons for stringency and leniency regarding growing things in a solid pot, and we have the Chazon Ish giving us a heter, saying that if I'm growing something in a pot, in a shelter, combining those two issues, and Shemitah Zederabanan, then there's room for leniency. And we discussed the question of, was this a lachatchila according to the Chazon Ish? Was it tzorech? The Chazon Ish raising funds for Kibbutz Chavetz Chaim so that they could actually plant this way. So what I want to do today is address the question of, is a greenhouse the same as a house? Is it the same thing as planting in a shelter? And I also want to ask a question about changing the circumstances of a pot midway through its growth. Let's say I started in a pot inside, and then I want to open the window, or then I want to take the roof off, and then I want to move it outside. Is that going to be okay? That'll be a second issue before we move into hydroponics. Okay? We're good? We know what we're doing? Okay. So the question of whether a greenhouse is the same as a house, to be able to employ the heter of the Chazon Ish. So, first of all, and I mentioned this, I think, at the end last time, so I don't need to read it out again, but it's Binyamin Zilber in the Bris Olam in Source Aleph. He notes that when we talk about planting indoors, it means indoors. They have a practice, or they had a practice in fields, that they would put a cover over plants that are in the field for the sake of shelter, and that was done year after year after year. That wasn't a Shemitah thing. And so that he says, does not work. He says, a sadeh with a shelter on top of the plants is still a sadeh. It's still a field. But that's a side note. The main issue when you're talking about greenhouses is what we've already alluded to in our quick review, and that is that a greenhouse is an improvement. That's not a bayit in terms of diminishing the quality of the growth. Take a look at Source Beis. That's the Yerushalmi and Arla that we saw in week one. Rabbi Yochanan quoted Rabbi Yanai. Ilan shenital b'sol chabayis chayav ba'arla. If you plant it in a house, the laws of Arla apply. Upatem and amayisos, it's exempt from tithing. Dot. Ubishvias tzricha. We had that line in Shvias. Tzricha dichse b'shavsaha aretz. But on the other hand, sadchalos is ra. And we had our debate as to whether to call it a sadeh, whether to call it eretz or not, and we brought in this idea that a bayit may not be considered a sadeh, and then we saw the Mishnah in Shvias in Source Gimel. I feel like this is now a redundant review because we already did this the review questions first. So let me save the time on this. But we saw the point about not making batim during Shemitah, but as the Chazon Ish notes, a bayit is something which is bad for growing things, and that's in Source Hay. He quotes you the Yerushalmi in Shvias about Osin Lahem Batim, and he says in the middle of that Chazon Ish, V'hasam habayis lehetiv hagidol. The type of house you're not supposed to create during Shemitah is a bayit which is meant to improve the growth of the plants that are in it. Avol note of a bayis hatzmachim heim b'matzav bilti tov v'ratzui. But if you plant in your house, then the plants are not in a good position. They lose access to rain. They lose access to the moisture, the dew, the wind, the sun, assuming tzlalim is dew and not clouds. But the point is that the Chazon Ish said the reason why we would prohibit a bayit is if it's good, and we would permit a bayit as if it's bad for the trees, like when you grow things in your house. So Reb Nissen Karelitz expands on this in Source Vav, in his Chut Shani. He says, Be'er HaDvarim, Sadeh hu musag shel makom hamiyuad lizri'a v'derech ha'olam lizro'a bo. He says, a field is a place designated for planting, and that's where people plant. Ubayit hu musag shel makom hamiyuad lemigurim. A house is a place that is designated for living in. Uchdomeh. V'lo l'gidul tzmachim. It's not for growing things. I don't know, I guess he doesn't have houseplants. But he says it's not, that's not a house. A house is a place where you live. A field is a place where you plant. Vim sadeh ubayis ein hu ela hagdaras hamakom. Yiudo, v'say v'shem. V'shem sadeh ubayis ein hu ela hagdaras hamakom yiudo v'tachliso. When we call it a sadeh, when we call it a bayit, it's not a physical description. It's not a description of what it's physically like. It's a designation of the purpose of the space. V'shem sadeh nikba b'im ha-makom ahu meitiv letzmachim u'l-gidulam. It's called a sadeh if it's good for plants. U'chshabonim bayis basadeh. So if you build a house in the field, ha-davar taloyim al-yadezeh ha-makom kvar eino miyu'ad lizri'a v'in derech ha-olom lizro'a b'am nesh eino meitiv letzmachim. So does it become a place that is not marked for planting because you made it into a house? Does it become a place that you're not going to plant in? People don't. The va'adraba mafriya legidulam upitucham. Just the opposite. The structure is going to impede the growth and development of the plants. One possibility. Oh, or alternatively, shadayin amakom yuad lizriya. That's still a place for planting. Mipnei shabayis nasa kli l'shaperes hazriya bo. It's a kli to improve the plants in it. Lefizel lo shayach lidon velomar disadcha hu gzeres hakasim belita amim. Shirak mashitzomeach, it should say besadech, chayav vishviyas. Avotzmeach abayis potter. He says, don't read this as a gzeres hakasuv that has no logic behind it. Where you'll say, now that it has walls and a roof, now it's no longer a sadeh. That's not true. It's all about the functionality of the space. He says, dize eino, that is not so. So the position of Rav Nissim Karel is very clearly, is that a greenhouse is not going to qualify. Right? He will not like the greenhouse. Heter, the greenhouse is a place for growing things. Ah, it has walls? Yeah, it has walls. It's still a field. A field with walls is still a field. That's his position. However, Rav Asher Weiss says not so fast. If you think through carefully what we did here, what we really pointed out in the course of this discussion is the Yerushalmi making a distinction between batim, that are, between bayit and sadeh. But the distinction between bayit and sadeh, it doesn't have to be about improving the plants or being a space designated for plants. Maybe it's about permanency versus temporary status. If you take a look at Source Zion, Amnam, Lule Debe HaChazon Ish, if not for the Chazon Ish's words in which he talked about, as we did in Source Hay, the house being something that's not good for the plants to grow, Haya Efshe Lefarish, Yisavaratzi Yerushalmi, V'derech HaCheres, I could explain the Yerushalmi differently. Sherei Lo Mishum Shabayis Pogeya B'Tiv HaGidul Ein Bo Kedusha Shvias. He says, it's not that the house is bad for the growth, and therefore there's no Kedusha Shvias. It could really be a house is not a field and it doesn't fit the definition in the pasuk. What do you mean? The etzem hamivneh shel abayis hu shemafkia shem sadeh. Exactly what Reb Nissen Karelitz said is wrong. He says is right. The fact that it is structured as a house means it's not a field. V'lo agidul halo ratzui. It's not about whether things grow better or worse. And don't link this to houses in that Yerushalmi. Why? Shemetzel al ha'ilon bilvad u'minastam eilom machitzos klal, because that's a flimsy structure. When we said planting in batim in shvius is called planting, and therefore you're not allowed to do it, it's not because that's good for the plant's growth. Rather, it's because this shelter out there is temporary. It has no walls. It's just shading the tree. Ve'en lo shem bayis ela batel eitzel sadeh. It's batel to the field. So the point is that Rav Asher Weiss has a different read of why we care about the shelter. Rav Asher Weiss's position is that the reason why the shelter is prohibited in the Yerushalmi is because it's something that doesn't really change anything about growing in a field. But if your house does change something, even if it happens to be a good environment for growth, it's not called field. Clear? Straightforward? We got it? Everyone online have it? Okay. That's one issue here. Does the greenhouse being an improvement matter? Rav Nissen Karelitz, yes. Chazon Ish, apparently, yes. And Rav Asher Weiss, nah. Second issue is whether the greenhouse is called Derech Zeria. And that takes us in a different direction. The Tshuva of the Rush, which I brought you here in Source Ches, regarding separating Truma and Meiser from plants that grow on the roof above a garden. Vishesha Alta, Bekerem Hanatua Al Hagag, vineyard growing on your roof. Ubinyan Akerem Kachu, and this is the way that it's built. First, you built yourself a roof. And you paved it over with stones. You filled it with dirt. And you planted a vineyard in it. So you wanted to say this is like a pot that has no hole in the bottom. Truma shouldn't apply. Arla shouldn't apply. It's not connected to the ground. It's like a big, big flower pot. Tshuva. He says, I'm sorry. That's still obligated in Truma and Arla. When the Gemara exempts you from Truma and Meiser for planting in a pot that has no hole, that's talking about a nice movable pot. Go to Tzitz, Usfina, or your nice big movable boat. Your boats are mobile, hopefully. Derech Lizroa Kach. The underline is not in the original Rush, but it might as well be. This is not the way people plant things. On the other hand, if you have a nice roof, you have a hanging garden, or, you know, whatever, a rooftop garden, that's normal planting. This is brought lahalacha. This is brought in the Shulchan Aruch and Yeridei Reish Tari Dalid. The Magen Avraham and Hilchos Shabbos brings it in Shin Lamed Vav Yedalid. And under that argument, you'd certainly extend that to the greenhouse. Right? I mean, people plant there regularly. That's what they do all through the Shemitah cycle. Rav David Lau, in his article in Tchumen Yedalah that I pointed out in week one, also points to this, and he sees it in the Mara Panim, in the Yerushalmi Arla, as well. Rav Asher Weiss brought this point to talk about heavy planters, right, in Source Tes. Nira da adniot kvedot, these big heavy planters. Shederach lanicham de pitche misadot obu ulamot u batei cholim. They put them at the entrance to restaurants. They put them in, you know, at halls or hospitals, whatever. Usually as a security device, frankly. Havi kimachuber lakarka min hatorah. That is considered to be fully connected to the ground. Av she'enem nekubim klal, even though it has no holes. You're not moving those. They're sitting there. Raise the dome, and he says that's comparable to the rush that we just showed you. Presumably the same thing is going to be true for any raised bed that you want to plant in. It's considered part of the ground. The fact that there's no hole doesn't matter. It doesn't need a connection to the ground below. Rav Sammy and Rav Chaim. You mean he was so literal when it came to buy it? Right. So right. So Rav Sammy's question is that we just saw that Rav Asher Weiss said when it comes to the distinction between house and field that he was very literal. A house is a structure, and a field is open. But now you're telling me that in the event that you plant in a house, but this is kavua, and everybody plants in them, then it's considered to be like planting in the ground. So I think the answer is yes. I don't think it's X but Y. I think it's X and Y. And I think what he's trying to tell us is that, yes, if it is indoors, it's no longer sadeh. But if this is an indoors that people plant in, that this is derech zriya, then it's still chayiv and truma and meiser, and shemitah and arla and everything else.
Right.
Well, if you view these as two separate issues, though, you can really say two separate things. So he's right. He's redefining sadeh as places people plant.
Right. Then what's the point?
But then what was the point of the?
Yeah, like,
well, the easy answer is because he actually says this. I mean, Rav Asher Weiss brings it into Shemitah, but the Rush was talking Truma and Meiser.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Correct.
So. Correct. Chaim, what were you going to say? I can't hear you well.
Yes, some of those thoughts, they bring them there, they'll hold there for years. But sometimes, particularly in the case of the extreme case, you're only planning on having it there temporarily. It will not be there the second the treatment is over, you do not want it there. You're just putting it there now. You know it's more complicated. You're just doing it now. True, it's a heavy pot that's not even moved, but like you're planning on moving it anyway. So would that change things? Basically, I didn't want to, I was too lazy to build a full structure, so I finished the day. I'm lazy.
Right. So Rav Chaim asked an interesting question, just repeating for those online. Rav Asher Weiss makes the point about big heavy planters. What if you construct something that you are using during Shemitah that is a big heavy planter, however you really only intended to be there during Shemitah? Does it now become Derech Zriya because people normally plant in those and leave them there forever? Or does my individual use of it have any role in this calculation? The language of the Rush makes it sound like my personal use is irrelevant. That's my gut, but it's an interesting question. I'm not certain that that's the way to read it. I don't know. I'm going to skip the interesting cases if you don't mind. Thank you. The third issue here is just one that I note for you, but I'm not really following what Rav Kalman Kahana does with this. If you take a look in source Yud, he brings you a Rambam. The Rambam is in Hilchos Meiser, Perek Aleph, Halacha Yud. It's embedded in the quote, and that's why I didn't bother to break it out separately. But the Rambam says that if you have a tree growing in your house, it's exempt from Meiser, because it's not from the Sadeh. However, midrabanan, it's chayiv in it, because a te'ena, a fig tree that's growing in a yard, requires meiser if you harvest it all at once. The question that this raises is, what if you have something that's indoors and you plant broad swaths of it, such that you harvest it all at once, like it's a big, it's a field-like area indoors. But I wasn't clear on what he was doing with it, and I read it and reread it and decided I'm just bringing it for you on the sheet. For those who want to investigate further, you can look at this Yud and Yud Aleph piece from Rav Kalman Kahana. And if you figure it out, I would be very glad to have you explain it to me, because in the end I couldn't make heads or tails of it. In terms of psak on the greenhouses, so they're all over the place. Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, Yud Dalet. In Yud Beis, those who say it's acceptable include Rabbi Yosef Efrati quoting the Chazon Ish as having allowed it for Kibbutz Chavetz Chaim, and he actually brings you the Chazon Ish's letter allowing it for Kibbutz Chavetz Chaim. And in Shvi'it B'Chamamot, Rav Kalman Kahana brings you a letter from Rav Shlomo Zalman supporting greenhouses. So those are two strong positions saying greenhouses are fine. Then you have the intermediate position, Rav Wasner, as quoted in Halicha Sada of Rav Efrati, says, sounds like it should be mutter, but he hesitates because of Ruach Chachamim, which is interesting. And if you look in Halicha Sada Ayin Beis, I keep quoting you Pei Vav, but look in Ayin Beis, you get his full comments. Rav Yashiv is also quoted as dealing with greenhouses and saying they're okay, but only if you grow things that don't benefit from the shelter. So if you grow things that grow there in the winter, then that can grow in winter weather, so they're not benefiting from the greenhouse shelter, then you're okay. That's brought in Rav Asher Weiss, who himself disagrees, because he says if it's a sada, the distinction of whether it helps or doesn't help doesn't work, because he doesn't care about whether it helps or not. This is clearly following the Chazon Ish's approach, which Rav Yashiv is allowed to do. And then you have those who are opposed. So so Rav Efrati brings you Rav Yashiv. I just wanted to see what I did. Oh, I see. Yeah, Rav Efrati brings you Rav Yashiv saying nowadays greenhouses are derech gidol. Everything is grown in greenhouses, even during the rest of the Shemitah cycle, and he'll only allow it if it's owned by a non-Jew, and non-Jews are doing all of the biblically prohibited Shemitah actions. Rav Asher Weiss himself is strict because of the doubt about how to explain the Yerushalmi and Shvius about Batim, and because the Achronim agree with the Radbaz, saying that an unpierced pot in a house is no good. So Rav Asher Weiss does not like it. And then you have Nissen Karelitz, who says the whole thing is nonsense. This is a sada. It's not a bayit. It's kavua. And he is against as well. So you have a full range of views on this topic, and hopefully now we have some understanding of the different views. I wanted to note the issue of changing the position of the pot mid-growth, because I think it's an interesting question. We know we're not supposed to plant outside during Shemitah. That's easy. We know that there may be circumstances in which we are allowed to plant inside. Let's not get complicated with a greenhouse. I have a flower pot in my house, and it has a sealed bottom, and I've got steel below it, between it and the ground. Nothing is making it through that steel. And I planted, and I watered it, and everything else. And now, I want to open the roof. I have a sunroof. I want to open the roof. Or I want to open the window. Or, I want to take the pot outside. Is that okay? So the Chazon Ish says, no, you can't do that. Take a look at Source Tezvav. Va'af l'man demekiel osir l'hasira tikra me'al azra b'shviyas tabi told azoreya. He says, don't you dare. Even if we're going to be lenient about indoor planting, no removing the roof. And in brackets he says, ulfiza afim zara erev shviyas osir l'hasira tikra b'shviyas. Even if you planted it before Shemitah started. Ve'od kishemesira tikra nimtza da'avid isura lemafreya lehevi zoreya amenas lahasir vizo ziriya gemura. He says, if you plant, I don't know where this came from. This is such a wild approach. My question is not the practical reality. My question is, he just invented the idea that there's such a thing as Zoreya Amanas Lahasir, that you planted with intent to remove the roof, and therefore, retroactively, you planted in Shavuos. I'm speechless. That's what he's doing here. This would be told, he says, this is a tolda of Zoreya. It's mind-boggling. You realize where he goes with this now. That means that if I planted it during Shemitah, and after Shemitah was over, I removed the roof in year 8, I'm now chayav. Because I planted in year 7. Mind-boggling to me. Yeah, that's it exactly. It's not just somewhat. Like, that's what he's doing. But it's just, we had a hint of it when we talked about planting seeds in order to sprout them, but not in order for them to grow or in order to test them. So there, maybe retroactively, but it's just so strange. Yes. No, I think he means during Shemitah as well. I can't. We talked about that.
Correct. And then it makes more sense in the context. something that if you were planning on, if you planned this during Jesus' first visit, uncovered, it would be us. Right? So then that's why it's a problem, because retroactively we can be, we think you're not with the cure. But then how could, I know, because there's also condition of 60. When the age cure, there is no problem whatsoever being involved with it.
See, I would argue the opposite. Reb Chaim wants to argue that if you plant in year 6 and then uncover in year 7, it makes more sense that this is usur than if you plant in year 7 and you uncover in year 8. But I would argue just the opposite. Planting in year 6 is mutter. It's entirely permitted. Whatever I, there's no act of zriya going on during Shemitah. If you light candles on Friday, unless you're a Karaite, you have not been Mechalel Shabbos. If you put food in the oven on Friday afternoon and it cooks on Shabbos, you may have Shehiyah issues, but you did not violate Bishul.
If I started opening my flame on Shabbos, even if I started a business,
that's a different story. Then you did something with the flame. Here you didn't do anything. Okay, weiter, guys. Weiter, sorry. You're not going to convince me. Rav Binyamin Zilber in the Bris Olam in Shvi'is Aleph Kuf Lamed Aleph is also against opening the window, opening the roof. However, Rav Shlomo Zalman says, and maybe I'm biased by the fact that what he says is perfectly logical, but Rav Shlomo Zalman says this is not an issue. That's good. But take a look. It's Source Tezai. He says, Nirash she'ein lesser atzas atzitz mimakom b'kura l'she'enu m'kura b'glala shinui mibayis l'sadeh. He says, there's nothing wrong. We're not going to prohibit, even if you're moving the pot from a sheltered area to a non-sheltered area and saying, well, now it's going to a sadeh. Mimnei she'ein ze goreim rak shinui b'din avalocha shemishum kach avoda. You're changing the, you know, it's moving into a place with a different status, but you didn't work it. You didn't do anything. I'm allowed to buy a field from a non-Jew during Shemitah, a field that's already been planted, right? That's a separate thing, you know, whether the Kedusha is lost when the Akum owns it. Even though, by buying it, I have now made that Eretz Yisrael, and you weren't supposed to plant there during Shemitah, he says, who cares? We're not going to prohibit removing the roof in Shemitah from a place that was already planted, even though now it's a field. Poof. That's what he says. He doesn't think that this is that this is an issue. There's more here in the discussion. He quotes you the Meiri, who says that on Shabbos you're not allowed to move a pot that has a hole in it. That's the Zoreya / Kotzer concern, aside from Muktzah, obviously, it's a separate discussion. But nonetheless, he doesn't think this is an issue, and he goes further, and he says, where is it? At the end, Vayanir Lafini is Daiti, the last two lines of Source Tezayin. Vayanir Lafini is Daiti, Shem Hesir es Hatikra Balayla, B'sha She'en Shemesh, V'lo Gorim Tekef Ma'asav L'shum Hashbacha, he says, I think that in the event that you remove the roof at night, so that the plant does not directly benefit from what you did, it's the sun that's doing the work. He says that would be more likely to be fine. He also says, although I think I didn't bring it in the excerpt, that certainly where the goal is not for the sake of the plants. Right? You put something in a toaster oven and you burned it and you open the window in order to ventilate the smoke. The fact that the plants are now going to get sunlight is not going to be an issue. The same thing comes up in Hilchos Shabbos. You walk into a room and it's dark and you open the shades because you want to have light. But there's a pot there and the plant in the pot is going to benefit from the sunlight. That's okay. As opposed to, I'm not supposed to open the shades in order to give sunlight to the plants. That's the idea. I wasn't sure about one thing about this. If the issue here is that this bayit is not called a planting space, or that it's not good for planting, right? Whichever approach we've taken. So I have now put the plant into a sadeh. Like I did. I mean, the whole thing where Rav Shlomo Zalman rejected, that you're only changing the din of the space. Yeah, but I put the plant into a sadeh. Maybe there really is such a thing as putting a plant into a sadeh. Maybe that is an avoda.
Right. But
Ostensibly, I mean, now it has access to the elements that are supposed to be beneficial. I don't know. That's what I was wondering about.
The case that this type of thing is reacting to is you have a farmer who said they set their greenhouses, and then, you know, they started off in the, you know, with this nice structure and then the floor and everything. You know what happens when, you know, it gets to the right thing, when it gets to the point to be actually start getting into it? They just remove the roof of it. Like, you know, we're done. We planted it.
Right.
And now we're done. I mean, like, clearly you're planted the whole time, and, like,
right. So Reb Chaim wants to argue, for the benefit of those online, Reb Chaim wants to argue that the Chazon Ish is really concerned about the idea that they play a trick, where you build a structure, you put your plants in the structure, and then you plan the whole time, you're going to take off the roof and tell everybody, don't worry about it because this was planted in a greenhouse. Whether it's really us or because we're saying that retroactively this was an act of planting or just to prevent this game of we did it in a mutter way, that's Reb Chaim's argument. In terms of transporting a pot with a hole in it outside, in Source Yud Zayin, I just gave you a summary of views, Reb Binyamin Zilber says it should not be carried from place to place. He said if it has a solid bottom, you're moving it inside the house, and it's the bottom of the pot is metal or glass, the floor is paved, then he says you're okay indoors. Outdoors he doesn't want you to do it because the air is good for the plant. So Rav Zilber is not a fan. Rav Nissen Karelitz also is not a fan. He says if the house is not a sadeh, then taking the pot outside is an act of zareya. You're planting, consistent with the Chazon Ish's position regarding opening the window. Rav Shlomo Zalman says, if you want to take your pot outside, just hold it more than 10 tefach above the ground. Because of the Ritvan Gittin that we mentioned last week, who says that there is no nourishing from the ground if your pot is more than 10 tefach off the ground. And finally, Rav Asher Weiss's position is, pots that are in motion are not benefiting from the ground below, and therefore, there's no concern with moving this pot outside. Okay. I'm not going to review all of the summary questions again that we did in the beginning, but you see them there. And the last two summary questions now are relevant for us. For what three reasons might the Chazon Ish's heter for indoor solid pots not apply to the modern greenhouse? So first of all, because of the argument that the houses are only okay if they're bad for the plant, and second, because houses are okay if they're not kavua, but this is kavua. And then the third point was Rav Kalman Kahana bringing from the Rambam and Hilchos Meiser, but we didn't explore it. And then my changing the circumstances of the pot mid-growth remove its heter. So you have the Chazon Ish being strict about opening the window or the roof, the Michal Shlomo saying that's not an act of avoda. In terms of taking it out of the house, or Shlomo Zalman just says hold it above 10 tefach, and Rav Asher Weiss says while it's in motion, there's no issue.
You can't put it down.
You can't what?
Place it down outside.
Correct.
You can,
no, don't put it down.
You can go for a walk with your plant, that's all you do.
You can move it from one house to another. Okay. Yeah. Ostensibly. According to what he had said about opening the window and the roof. It's not avoda. Right, unless you take my question against his position, which is that putting it into a sadeh may be an act of planting. Meaning, every year, at the end of the winter, I take some of the plants that have been growing indoors in my house and I move them out to the porch. They're not going in the ground.
Right.
But they're going to grow better outside.
Right. I guess the question is, they're already growing. They weren't done. Now they're going to grow better.
And I would think so.
Yeah.
I would think so. Okay. Hydroponics. So, just first of all, from a Metzius perspective, just to understand the reality of what hydroponics are. So, classic hydroponics involved the presence of some nutrient substance. You would have the roots in the water, and there would be some kind of nutrient that would be in the water. In a more modern version of hydroponics, they actually have the nutrients dissolved in the water. If you want to know more about it, there's something called nutrient film technique, which you can look up online. But there are no visible nutrients at that point. And then There's also the AeroGarden model, which I mentioned in Toronto Torah in my article last week about Truman Meiser from Things That Grow This Way, in which the way they do it is very cool, is they have the, they're being held, the models that I've seen, on a pole in the air. The plants, the roots are exposed to the air, but they're sprayed with a nutrient mist. Every few minutes, it's automated. They're sprayed with a nutrient mist, and then the rest of the plant is also growing, like, out in the air. They say it's actually really good for the plants because the exposure to oxygen helps the roots, and the plants grow better in this way. So there is some Kilayan discussion to be had regarding this. This is true. The when I was researching what this whole thing is about, when I was writing that article in Toronto Torah, I noticed Rabbi Yonasan Kaganov has an article on the Kilayim question and AeroGardens. But where the medium is fully liquid, okay, where what you're growing in is fully liquid. First of all, the reason we're bringing this now is just because we're assuming when you're growing things hydroponically, you're growing them indoors, and therefore you have the added benefit of the whole shelter piece of things and potentially the pot, although they need drainage, so labdavka, not necessarily. But where the medium is fully liquid, so we have the following two reasons to permit and then two reasons to prohibit. Take a look, please, at the Gemara in Shabbos and Sores Yudches. Hatomein lefes utznonos tachas hagefen. This is a kilayim discussion, mixed species. So in the event that you bury a turnip or you bury radish, root vegetables, beneath a grapevine, emhaya miktas alav megulim, if some of the leaves of these roots are exposed, eino choshesh lo mishum kilayim velo mishum shvius velo mishum meiser. He says that's not called planting it. There's no kilayim issue, there's no shmita issue, no nothing, no tithing. Vinitalim b'Shabbos, you can even pull them out of the ground on Shabbos. They're not growing. So writes the Gemara in Shabbos. Tosfos there in Source Yates says, Va'omeri, diragilus hushami tosfin, machmat lechluchis akarka. He says, of course they're growing. They're exposed to the moisture of the dirt. Yeah, they're gonna grow. Kamoshanu roen, we see it. Shumen ubitzalam shami tosfin, afiluk shemenuachem bachalon. If you leave garlic or onion on your windowsill, they grow. Right? If you ever have, onions or garlic that you keep too long, right? You can start to see the shoots that are coming out of the bulb. He says, so I don't know what you're talking about. He says, that's the part that you're saying you don't need to tithe. The Tosso says, whatever growth is there does not require separation of Truman Meiser from the counter sprouting. That's Tosso's comment. Leave aside my comment about the rest of the applications. The this also comes up in Erev and Ayin Zayin Amud Aleph. So on the basis of this Tosfos, though, who says that when something grows in the air, there's no need to separate Truman Meiser, Reb Chaim Knievsky in the Derech Amuna in Source Chaf says, with hydroponics, if you don't have dirt, it's not called planting. Ulefi zeh begidulei mayim sha'osin hayom shenosnim mayim b'sol kelim b'zorim b'solchan b'li afar. When they grow things hydroponically, putting the plants in water without any dirt, yesh lomar da'avi k'gadol ba'avir. You could say, it's like growing in the open air. Upatar mimayser afilu midrabana, no meiser to be had. Kevin shein sham afar, because there ain't no dirt. V'ulei, but then he says, not so sure. Maybe. He says, V'ulai hamayim nechshavin gamkin ka'afar midirabanan kevin shetzomeach al yedezeh. It could be, you can make the argument that water is the planting medium. Water is like dirt in this case. V'lodami l'gedelin ba'avir she'ein zezriya klal. It's not like when it's in the air where it's not called planting at all. He says, maybe this is an issue. He also brings you a Yerushalmi in Kilayim, which I wasn't sure what he was trying to do here. Take a look at Source Chaf Aleph. The Yerushalmi here says, talk about Kilayim. Zara Shnei Minim Bebeka, you plant two different types of plants together in an open field, or Shnei Minim Bechurva, or in a ruin. Bechurva, Shnei Minim Bechilkim Geder, or two plants that you divide up with a fence. So Rabbi Yochanan Amar Potter, Reish Lakish Amar Chayim. Mode Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, this is the part that's relevant, Bezareya al Gabei Hayam. Reish Lakish, who was strict, was lenient if you plant al Gabei Hayam, on the Yam. What is he talking about planting on the Yam? So the Yam does not mean the sea. The Mefarshim on the Yerushalmi explain that it means a stone, talking about the term yam as it's used for a receptacle, a large stone receptacle like in the case of a mill. You have something called a yam. I'm sorry? There's another view in the Mefarshim on the Yerushalmi, but it's also not that it's the sea. But the point that I think the reason why there, Ruchan Kanievsky is well aware of the explanation of planting on the yam. His point isn't that. His point is that you're planting on something that will not nourish the plant. That's really why he's quoting this. So he says, if I plant in water and the water is nourishing the plant, then maybe it should be considered like earth. That's the argument that's to be made here. Yes, Ruchan. Yeah.
So those aren't all non-things that you benefit from. Those that are simply differentiated in their different areas, like crushing is.
No, these are variations on the same. What was Petra? Yeah, and so is slime, and so is trushim. Trushim is just is the type of earth that's in clods that's not going to be supportive.
Okay.
Yeah, it's all surfaces that aren't supportive. They're physically supportive, but not nutritionally supportive. So the reason number one to permit and to say it's okay to do hydroponically is to say it's like they grow in the air. But Ruchaim Kanievsky is not 100% sure that that's correct because the water does nourish. The other reason to permit is the Yerushalmi and Shvi'is, which we've already seen. The one about testing seeds. Chaf Beis. Ein bokenes hazran ba'adama ba'atzitz. We don't test seeds in the ground in a pot. Abel meaning dirt in a pot. We do in manure in the pot. V'shorin osin v'shvi'is l'motzai shvi'is. And you soak them in Shemitah for after Shemitah. So says the Yerushalmi. So commenting on that, the Rambam writes in Chav, not commenting, bringing it, the Rambam writes in Chav Gimel, in Bodkin es Hazram, I'm skipping the Bodkin part, Vishorin es Hazram v'shvi'is k'dei lezaron m'motzai shvi'is, you soak seeds in Shemitah in order to plant them after Shemitah is over. You are allowed to do the soaking. And the Marie Kurkus explains why this is permitted. He says in Sors Chav Dalid, the idea of testing it is simply you want to see how it's going to do later on. And the Rambam's point is to say this is not called an act of planting. There's no issue of appearances. However, a big however, that Yerushalmi also shows up in a Tosefta. And the Tosefta has a different edition. Take a look at Source Chavei. In Bokin, it says, Ram Beglalam, Abbokin, it says, Badam, Abba'atzitz. First, the business about testing the seeds. And then it says, Umeshairin Mishvias, Lamotzai Shvias. You're allowed to keep the seeds for after Shemitah. The seeds that you tested, we don't say, I had a batch of 200 seeds and I tested 20 of them and I have to get rid of them. I can keep them until after Shemitah and I'll be allowed to plant them. And the Ravid, commenting on that Rambam, I brought it for you separately in Chavav, Umishairin says, he has this other nusach of holding over the seeds from Shvias to Motzai Shvias. The Tshuvas Maril Diskin seems to agree with the Ravid, saying that we don't believe Shorin. You're not allowed to soak. Take a look at Source Chavzayin. Nishalti al-Dvar ha-Zimora ha-Nikra alandra. He says, I was asked about a type of a vine. Asher derech netiyaso ubekach, which is planted in this way. Shenotlin zimora, umanichen betzlochas b'mayim. You put the vine in a pitcher of water. V'omedetz besocha bezo gimel chadashim ashtotzi shrashim levanim dakim. It sits there until it eventually produces small white, thin white roots. Then you take it and put it in the ground. And it'll produce a big tree. What about for Shemitah? I think this is prohibited. No putting this branch in the water in order for it to sprout roots. Sounds like he is taking the view of the Ravid. That Shorin is not Shorin, it's actually Mishairin. The Kesef Mishnah asks the question, then what does Mishairin teach me? Of course I'm allowed to hold over the seeds for after Shemitah. The Kesef Mishnah did not like this at all. So Rabbi Eliezer Brizel, in Source Yud Ches, in an article from the Carlin Stolen Journal, Kovetz Beis Aaron Yisrael, offers us a different read of the Tosefta. He says, "Lebedika ba'afar kosevas haTosefta shemuta rak ba'oven shemeshayrin azol matzoy shvius." It's a limitation on this testing permission. Perish be'eza oven muter bedika ba'afar rak hasher lefanav kupa shozram velokach melek mezram me'kupa mikupa zuk they live dok. Only if you have a box of seeds and you take some of the seeds in order to test them. But taking all of them and putting them in the dirt. He says, then it's not testing, then it's actually planting. So in other words, he says, what the Tosefta was teaching me by saying Mishirin was not what Turchiner said the Tosefta was teaching. Right? I had said, it's teaching me that I'm allowed to take these seeds and now hold them over, the seeds that I tested. He says, no. This is actually teaching me a requirement. The requirement for being able to test seeds is that I don't test all of them. That's what it's teaching me. That's what the Tosefta is trying to show me. Okay. Either way, Rav Brizel, in his article, I think I brought in Chavtes. No, I did not. But in his article, he goes on to say that this may not permit hydroponics anyway. Because hydroponics is not an act of testing. Shorin is clearly a testing act. So he's not so happy with using this as a basis to permit. So you have two possible reasons to permit in the hydroponic situation. Each of them is shaky. There's a reason to prohibit as well, and that's source cheftes. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah regarding the mitalaya. They're talking about a plant called mitalaya, and they describe how you plant it, and it involves soaking these seeds together in water. That's your case. So if the, and it's source of test, you can see the Gemara. So this is a hydroponically grown plant called mitalaya, and we have a Tosefta in source Lamed, which says, HaMitalaya lo nagu b'chachamim heter lo l'maisos v'lo l'shmias. Number one, you have to separate Truman Meiser from it. And number two, you're not allowed to plant this during Shemitah. So doesn't that really end the debate? Why is this a conversation? Well, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank asked this question of the Chazon Ish, and the Chazon Ish says, yeah, that's not a problem. Don't worry about the mitalaya. Why not? So Rav Zilberstein in Chashukei Chemed offers you the following suggestion in source Lamed Aleph. V'amar chazonish shalo kasha misham. V'ulai kavanas ha-chazonish. De'begidulei mayim amrinan she'ein ze kedarkam. V'nishum shayet tzarich lizar'o ba'adama. When things grow in water, we say that's not the normal way they grow. They're supposed to grow in earth. The mitalaya is only grown in water. That's a different story. And he goes on to quote you the Gemara in Avodah Zarah to say it was done via Kishruf. That's actually a nice separate conversation. So what he says is, right, so what Zilberstein says is that if you have a plant that is always grown hydroponically, then you're going to have a problem. Chashukei Chemed says, for example, an avocado pit, which is rooted by putting it in water, would seem to be a problem according to this approach. So I have potential reason to prohibit from the Chashukei Chemed's explanation of why the mitalaya is not a problem according to the Chazon Ish. Because the Chazon Ish was talking about plants that normally grow in soil and you're putting it in water. But if it's always grown in water, then indeed you do have a problem. And then the last reason why this would be an issue is the Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos. The Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos in Source Lamed Beis. Hashor rechitin u'sa'orin v'kayotzeim b'mayim. If you soak wheat, barley in water, hareza tolda zoreya v'chayev v'kolshu. That is a tolda of zoreya, of planting, and you are chayev. So doesn't that seem to indicate that this is a problem in Shemitah? So Rav Yonah Navon, Lenech V'Kesef, argues this is not an issue. He thinks that's not a problem. Why? Source Lamed Gimel. He says, V'anachon be'enai v'hu ha'emes, d'meikara kushya lesa. He says, I don't see a problem here. Ve'eladamo shviyas l'shabbos. Don't compare Shemitah to Shabbos for this. V'atam de'sha'ani shabbos, da'asur lasus bo'malacha klal. Shabbos, no malacha is allowed whatsoever. It's an iser malacha. Bein shi malachas karka, bein shena malachas karka. I don't care whether dirt's involved or not. It's an act of zoreya. Azvadeh asur lishos b'mayim. Kevin Nabi told it the zoreya, shi malacha. Va'asur avshenu b'karka. The definition of zoreya does not require dirt, and therefore be asur on Shabbos. So he says for Shabbos, achim. B'shmiyas t'lo asa rachman ha-malach l'dabka b'karaka. Ka'amar b'shav sarat Shabbos l'Hashem. He says, Shemitah, it's specifically ha'aretz, if it's in earth. Pshita vade da toldos to asa rabban and ha'inu dabka k'shem b'karaka. So the toldos that were prohibited are only when they are in dirt. He says, don't compare Shabbos and Shemitah. He also has a separate point, which I didn't bring you here on the sheet, in which he argues for leniency because Shemitah is dirabbanan. And therefore, he says, it would be okay, maybe, due to Pseida, but he doesn't stand on that because the Rambam didn't say anything about Pseida. But that's a reason to prohibit, which the Nechum B'Kesef dismisses. What about the fact that we say in Shulchan Aruch, you're not allowed to put branches in water? It's gonna cause flowering to take place. So Rav Chaim Kanievsky in the Derech Emunah says that's not a concern. That's about the appearance of planting. That's not actual. If you look in the Lamed Daled, the Mechzik is Oreya. It looks like planting. So basically, where it is fully liquid, you have two bases to permit. One is onions growing in air, but maybe not because the water is here providing nutritional basis, especially if there's nutrition that's dissolved in it. And the other potential permission is soaking seeds in Shemitah in order to test them is okay. But again, the addition may not actually be soaking. It may be a mishairin, which is a whole different area of halacha. And further, what you're doing here is planting. You're not testing. You're actually planting stuff in it. So it's hard to come up with this as grounds for heter. If you're going to tell me that greenhouses are okay overall, so hydroponics in a greenhouse is like anything else in a greenhouse. You're allowed to use soil. You're allowed to use water. But hydroponics independently will be a problem. Where there is some soil, it would certainly seem we should prohibit. The Nechum B'Kesef Rav Navon brings arguments to potentially permit, and he defeats them. But and I brought it for you in source Lamed Hay, but we're out of time. It's 11:28. So basically, what he argues is, maybe you could argue that, you know, Shemitah is derabbanan and it's gzeirah l'gzeirah, or maybe you could argue for bittul because the dirt is batel in the water medium. It's allowed because it's zevezegorem, it's the dirt and the water that are causing the growth. He brings all sorts of innovative ideas, but he doesn't take them seriously. He just knocks them down one by one. And in general, the poskim are not lenient in this regard. I brought you the Tosefta in Kilayim, which Rav Chaim Kanievsky brings, about planting in a swamp, that you're not allowed to do that. So there's no reason why this would be any better than the swamp. In practice, getting to the concluding sources, Lamatayim, Lamaches, Lamates, the Chazon Ish is lenient in a greenhouse. He's combining all of his heterim to get to the greenhouse, and once you're doing that, it's fine to do hydroponics in the greenhouse. What about outside of the greenhouse? So that I don't have anything from the Chazon Ish in terms of, I really shouldn't have written Matirin because that makes it sound like he's okay with it even outdoors. That's a mistake. I shouldn't really say it that way. But overall, the Nechum B'Kesef and Rav Chaim Kanievsky seem to be okay with pure water. So is Rav Avadya Yosef. Rav Avadya Yosef has a tshuva in Yechav Adas, which I referenced here in Source Lamed Ches, asking the question of what bracha you make on hydroponically grown produce. And he argues it's a shahakol. He says, b'dieved, you're okay if you made a bar priya dama, bar priya eitz, but he says it really should be a shahakol on it. And he says, it's not called planting. If it's pure water, then then hydroponics are okay during Shemitah. And then, on the other hand, Rav Zilber is quoted as prohibiting the Mariel Diskin. We already saw prohibiting soaking that branch, and presumably he's going to extend that also during Shemitah in general to hydroponic planting, which he wasn't asked about because he lived too early. But that's basically where things are. Okay? Shkoyach, thank you very, very much. Have a good Shabbos. And Rav Sami is going to take us through the rest of this man with Kiddush HaShvi'is and proper use of plants. Thank you.